Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 227, part 1, Why. Today is Friday, December 30th, 2011. I just want to mention that in about 20 minutes into the message, there is some sort of interference. Just ignore it. This is a podcast. And I have a special January intro coming right up. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from the studios of North Minneapolis, Pastor Paul's podcast. Actually, that's a microphone, computer, and some software. As we approach January 2012, I wanted to do something a little special for our January intro. So today I have with me here Pastor Paul. And I have some questions for you, Pastor Paul. Let me get my questions out here. Okay. Are you ready, Pastor Paul?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. There's been a rumor for about a year now that you are dead. Is that rumor true? Are you dead?
Actually, there's been, I've been dead three times this year, and I have to live that down, so to speak. But no, I'm alive, well, and kicking, enjoying life to the fullest, and doing what I'm supposed to do down here on the north side.
Okay, so in other words, I am talking to a real person. You are alive, and you are here today. Okay, so we got that out of the way. My second question, in connection with that rumor, when people come here to Pastor Paul's and they see all the hard work that you do, I hear them say something like, Pastor Paul, you're going to work yourself to death. Do you think there's possibly a connection between the rumor of your death and the hard work that you do here?
Not really. What I think is I don't have time for dying or time for getting old. I'm 80 years old, and I've never had the time to get feel that old. Keep yourself busy, folks, and during this time of real trouble in our country, keep yourself occupied. When you get up in the morning, clean the house and get yourself going and start making plans for the day.
Today's message is called Why. And I want to ask you, why do you do the hard work that you do?
I love to work in the first place. I've always had my hand in a lot of things. But basically right now is not the time to lay down the plow, but to plow full speed ahead and to make this thing work. People out there in the country are in dire straits. We need prayer and fasting for them. I hope that you will pray and fast for me. And look on the bright side of things. Look on the bright side. Don't look at the dark side. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Start working on today and start praying and fasting and believing God for a miracle. That's what I'm believing for right now, with hardly any funding coming in here, people cutting out and running. I'm getting more food than I have ever had in all of the time I've been down here. So God is really blessing us here on the north side. And that's how I feel about it.
Okay, Pastor Paul, my final question. We're entering a new year, 2012. What message do you have for your podcast listeners for the coming year?
Keep looking up. Keep helping one another. If you can help someone, do it, and God will bless you back. It's a time for sharing right now and caring for one another and make an example to people that we do care and we do love. This is a great country, and we're once again, we're on the throes of making it even greater. That's my word.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. The messages for January are why, serve, the burden, rock plows. Have a great new year. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, Why? I think that's a question we all ask about just about everything. Why? There's a song that's called, Why Me, Lord? What did I ever do? Why, oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming? Tell me why, baby, why you ever made me cry, baby, cry. Well, listen to David. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And it's like he's talking to two men. The psalmist talks to himself. Do you ever talk to yourself? Everybody does. And here we have his faith that's reasoning with his fears. His hope then argues with his sorrows. These present sorrows, are they going to last forever? The rejoicing of my foes, are they more than empty talk? Is what they're saying true? My absence. And of course, we're talking here when Absalom, his son, had chased him out. So he couldn't worship in the synagogues. So he says, my absence from the solemn feast, is that a perpetual exile? Why this deep depression? This faithless fainting? This chicken-hearted melancholy? So tonight, let this be an example for all the desponding ones. All of those that have fallen into fits of continuing compression, this depression they have. To search out the cause of our sorrow, I think, is often the best surgery for grief. Keeps you busy. Why am I this way? Why am I so despondent? Well, contrary to popular belief, self-ignorance is not bliss. In this case, it's misery. You want to find out why you're so miserable. Is it on account of conditions? Is it on account of people? What is it? What is your excuse? You're listening on the radio to this tape. I think then the mist of
of the ignorance I'm talking about here magnifies causes for our alarm, and we don't know why. Well, I'm feeling this way, and I'm this, and I'm that, and because of this, and because they did this, and they did that, and so on like that. No, but I'm talking about your soul. Why is your soul disquieted within you? David says, why is it? Because I believe a clearer view will make the monsters dwindle into trifles. And I'm talking from some experience here tonight. I'm dealing with a lot of people. Why art thou disquieted in me? Why is my quiet gone? Why is my peace gone? And so he goes on. If I'm not allowed in the synagogue, in the Sabbath, why not have an inward Sabbath? Jesus says, this peace I give to you, not of the world's peace, but this peace I give unto you. Now that's an inward peace and an inward quietness you don't have to lose. And so he talks to himself, why not have an inward Sabbath? Why am I so troubled? The causes aren't that strong. And so he starts to ask these questions to himself, and he has a two-way conversation like there were two people. Hope thou in God. Well, a lot of times you have to talk to yourself, because if you talk to someone else, they think you are totally crazy and lock you up. Hope thou in God. Now he's talking to himself. I mean, if every evil is loose from Pandora's box, you know what's at the bottom? Hope. I believe this is the grace that swims and sinks not. In other words, it's dark now, but the sun will shine again. And then he goes on, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God smiling upon me will win the day. In the garden of hope, he's saying, grows those victory roses, like when someone doesn't play or something like that, and they give them roses, and there's people clapping, and the curtain goes down, and they come back out for a second one, and a third, and a fourth. And then in verse 11, listen, it's so similar to verse 5. Sort of a rehearsal of his sorrow. Do you ever rehearse your sorrow? Okay, listen. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? The exact words. And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, who is the health of my countenance, and, listen carefully, my God. Very much the same except for one word. And, now he says, my God. So now he has a growing confidence in the Lord. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And there is a secret, and it's called praise power. You praise God in all things, it says, give thanks, in not for all things, but in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you, and that is the power, the praise power to turn the worst into the best and the very important. And I believe if we can learn this secret, we will know how to live. Not by our emotions, which are important. Not by feelings, but by faith. And if we don't learn it, we will be like, why Christians? Why God Christians? See, when we deal with suffering, it will be impossible to always explain why. Did you ever try to explain why to your kid? They say, well, why? You have to go to bed. But why? Why? Would you just sit there every night and explain the same thing? Because you got to get up, you got to in the morning, you got to go to school, you got to brush your teeth, blah, blah, blah. Pretty soon you just say, I am not going to explain to you. I am not. Don't stop asking me why. Just obey me. Now let me put this in the simplest terms that I can possibly put it so the radio audience will understand it. It's not always easy to explain all the whys when we're in God's plan. And especially when we're dealing with suffering. I mean, to stop our faith walk in suffering, I believe, is unbelief. And I know, preachers, you listening on the radio, a lot of you are going through a whole lot of things. And you feel just like quitting. I know, I get your phone calls and I get your letters. But what's that got to do with your faith walk? Do you think you'll be any happier somewhere else? No, people will have to live out the why without asking why. Just obey me, child, and get into the rack. Now! Do you ever say that to your little ones? You heard me, and I'm not going to tell you one more time. If you ask me why one more time, I'll show you why. Of course, none of you talk like that to your little ones, do you? God won't tell you why. The why is to be revealed in time as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the little one. And then they'll understand why. Don't play with matches. They burn down the house. Now they know why. And when you read a book, the story unravels, unfolds gradually. The mystery whys are revealed. The Bible says we are the walking, talking epistles. 2 Corinthians 3 then and 2 through 3. Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. God writes, in other words, a chapter on our heart, our spirit, a chapter at a time. Hey, I would like to have some of the chapters skipped. How many can say amen? Raise your hands up and say, God, I'd like to have that one erased. Rewrite. Yeah. And then the Bible says, our spirit and Jesus' spirit say, Abba, Father, where two or three gathered together in his name. There he is, the Bible says, in the midst of us. And so then, as characters in God's story, we are not whys, we are hows. We are the how of how God is going to work it out. And so then, many are the trials of how Christians. Because God works out his plan through the active doer Christians. Now, if someone's doesn't want to do anything, hear me now, and they don't want to do anything, how can you work anything out through them? No, it's the active how, not the why, not the questioning Christian, but the how, Lord, do you want me to do this thing? Those Christians, the doers, that God writes his story through. The walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. Walking, talking. Not the escape artists. Not the runaway to the land of Ubladi people, but the having done all stand and asking God not why but how do you want me to do this thing. Today I was to have a great group come down here to look at this church. All of a sudden, everybody was too busy to come down here, and they sent three lovely older people down here. Out of, I don't know how many important, let's say 20 people, they all of a sudden got too busy. Oh, I don't know, why should I go down? We'll just send these folks here. They haven't got nothing else to do. Why should we have to go down? Two years ago, a friend of mine was, well, wasn't even a friend of mine yet. I was at a meeting, and a man about 57 years old, they were totally destroying him in front of a large assembly. And in my spirit, I thought, this isn't right. It's time for something to happen here, and I found myself standing, and I found myself saying, and I thought, why am I doing this? And I thought, well, now I'm going to be involved. What's it going to cost me if I get up and speak my piece to this audience? What's going to happen to me? And the voice of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Paul, what will happen to him is more the question. If you don't involve yourself. And so I asked these people this very question. I said, do you know, probably you'll ask, well, do I want to be involved with this person? What's it going to cost? But I says, there is another question that you should ask yourselves. God will ask you, what will happen if you're not involved? What will happen if the mission doesn't continue and doesn't go on? Then ask yourself that question. That's another question, isn't it? Now, what will I look like if I'm involved? But what will happen if I'm not involved to that mission or to that person or to those Ethiopians or to whatever? We're so afraid to identify with any kind of suffering, any kind of work, any kind of dedication, because there's a cost involved. It's called giving your life to gain your life. No, there's no way that you can unravel the mystery of suffering and give a logical answer of why. There's no way you can go into a hospital room and tell someone that's lost a leg or someone died and say, well, why did this happen? There's no logical answer to it. But we can learn the how. The how of victory over suffering. I know I'm unpopular preaching this. I know it, but I don't care. It's the truth. The how of the victory over suffering, the how of the victory through suffering, the how of the victory betwixt, between, around, above, aboard, betwixt, and all around and under, and through suffering. To understand the whys, you got to go through the how of it. So to understand the whys of our lives, we must become a how person, a walk right through, a walk all the way through the whys. A how now person answers the why me, God. The active how Christians. They just simply live God's love story out without asking why in the middle of the climax. And so I say this, stop asking God why and ask God how. Some years back I was watching this story about, oh, some pioneers, I guess you'd call them. They were on their way to California and they got disconnected from the main group and they went on by themselves. And they were in this covered wagon and they were crossing the plains there and the They went through the suffering. It was quite a story. They were low on water and they were low on food. And the little Samuel, he dies, and they have a little burial right there. And the Indians attacked. And then the father is killed in a river crossing. And finally, they reach that last hill. And as they reach the top, they look down on California A. They all start to wahoo and jump and jumping for joy, and they were dancing, and the fiddle was a-going, and people were singing and rejoicing and crying. And they jump into this mountain stream lake, and wahoo, they're having a great time. Well, why were they suffering, you say? To reach their goal. Pastors, if you're listening to me on the radio, and right now, it used to be 3 out of 4 would last like 3 years. Now it's 2. It's down to 2 out of 4. To reach their goal, to reach their place, to widen their frontiers. They, I'm talking about the hows, moved right through the whys. And now they can tell others why. Your experience will give you that medal. I'll just speak in earthly terms here. We'll give you those hash marks. We'll give you those sharp shooter medals. We'll give you those. We'll give you the diploma. We'll give you the understanding to tell people that's why you do it. I can tell you right now, why do people suffer? For Christ's sake. It's as simple as that. But look at this picture. Jesus had just heard that his cousin John the Baptist, his forerunner, and his friend had been beheaded. Matthew 14, 13. So when he disembarked, he saw a large crowd, and out of pity for them, he healed their sick folk. And note then, it says, and then he fed the multitude. So while he was hurting, he went right on. Oh, hey, if you want a victory, when you're at your very lowest ebb, when there's hardly any strength left in you and you've gone through a very heavy trial, go on. That's the time to go on. You are very close to a victory. You're close to the victory garden. The very, very closest. There's out there that have been hauled. Says the show must go on. But get the picture. The Bible says the place was destitute. And the disciples said, shall we send them into Minneapolis? Should we send them into St. Paul so that they can buy themselves some food? And Jesus said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them to me. I'm talking about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And ordering the multitudes, he didn't say, would you please all sit down? He says, sit down. And ordering the multitudes to recline on the grass. See, first of all, you have to get people's attention. I've learned that down here. You can't help someone unless you can get their attention. It's kind of like you have to order them. I want to help you. And sometimes even your kid, you want to help them, and they want to put on their snowsuit. You got to put it on 50,000 times because they get inside, they go potty, and they want to go out again. Huh? So you got to get their attention. You're trying to get this snowsuit on them and like that, and you get them all bundled. And before you can get it on, you got to get their attention. They're looking all over and they won't put their foot out. Huh? And it's the same way when you're working with people. And so Jesus says, and ordering the multitudes to recline on the grass, sit down. Now he's got their attention. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitudes. You got everybody in the action. And they all ate. Now this is all 5,000. Listen to it. And were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. Listen to this. And there were about 5,000 men who ate. Now this is not counting the women. Aside from the women and children. It was probably 17,504 people there. So even then, with a wound in his own breast over John the Baptist, in the middle of his suffering, he worked for others. Did you know if you will take your wounded self, now listen to me, you listen on the radio on this tape. If you will take your wounded self, some of your very best works, if you'll just allow the spirit of faith and trust God and move on, some of your best works will happen during the time of suffering. If you, and now don't get melancholy, I'm just suffering. I'm not talking about that kind of melancholy, nothing. I'm talking about recognizing suffering and still continuing on without, you know, walking around with your lips hanging out. But you know you're suffering and you're going through suffering and you have a wound in your side and you continue on that kind of suffering. The greatest works you'll do in God will happen right then and there. Because you're humbled. I mean, a miracle there was performed in the middle of suffering that brought joy to the multitudes. I can really relate with that. Because a lot of times I'm not just the happiest. And you just continue on doing, you know what I'm saying. If you're having a hard time or the finances aren't right or someone gives you a telephone call or you get a nasty letter. Now, you preachers know what I'm talking about. And it seems like everything is in reverse. And you just keep right on going. And you are the greatest blessing. God uses you for the greatest blessing because you continue on during a time of suffering. And that's when the greatest work, well, Jesus on the cross, the greatest thing that ever happened. I think a lot of people listening had to go through life with a wound in their side. Maybe they lost a mate. Maybe they lost a child. Maybe a parent. Maybe some kind of a thing. Maybe one of your loved ones is in jail. Maybe Stillwater. I was reading where there, what was it, like 10% of all the people that are in prison aren't guilty? Imagine that. But anyway, that wound, instead of making him bitter against the injustice of John's beheading, made him more tender towards others. Out of pity for them, says he healed their sick and fed their hungry. So if you have to work with a wound in your side, remember that that wound will be healing others. By his stripes, we are healed. When you're brought low, preacher, when you're brought low, lay people, when you're brought low, congregations, in that lowliness of spirit, with that wound in your side, and I'm not talking about getting melancholy now, if you continue on in the work that God has set before you, wow, some of the very greatest things will happen through you. And so Jesus' wounds met our need. Same with us. We're more aware of the needs of others because we've been through something. Maybe it may be that our wounds shall answer someone else's wounds. Boy, this is a hurting world we're in. How many know this is a hurting world we're in? Hey, there's a lot of people hurting out there. You're down there with them blankets, and these guys were wrapping up in them blankets like, man, this they had the world. Wow, a blanket. I mean, I thought to myself, well, just a blanket. Look how happy these guys are over a blanket. Man, I wished I could have that kind of joy. And I mean, see, they had real joy over a blanket. And there's people that got quilts and blankets and piles of covers. They're not happy. Maybe that's the answer. I believe it is. I believe that persecution and having nothing when you have just a can of beans, man, there's a can of beans. Wow. Did you ever see that old Bud Abbott, Luke Costello flick when they're on this boat and they had this one bean? Did you ever see that one? Anybody ever seen that? It's an old, old flick. And they're on this ship and they're out there and they're tossing in the waves and everything. And I said, look, there's one bean. And they cut this bean up. You know, I was sitting there and I thought, in this movie, and I was hungry and I thought, boy, I'd like to have a piece of that bean. They made such a big thing over that bean, I thought, well, Paul, where have you been? You understand what I'm saying here? I think a lot of times, a lot of things, they're not going to make you happy. Here's these guys, man, they were smacking their lips and they had these wool blankets. Ooh, boy, a blanket. Wow, did you get a blanket? Yeah, I got a blanket. Oh, these are nice and warm. These are brand new wool blankets. Oh, wow. I was standing out there and I thought, man, you're a poor example out here. My feet were so cold, they were like my shoes were like old rocking chairs. You ever get on your feet and they're like rock? They're so cold, they're curled up and they're like rock. You can't even stand up because your feet are so cold, they're like rocking chairs. And I'm out there trying to get in on this joy. Boy, ain't this a nice blanket? I think, oh my God, my feet are freezing off my body. Matthew 16:21. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Sometimes God shows you things in advance. 1 Peter 2:20. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. A lot of times, I thought to myself down here in the mission work, oh man, I thought, well, who cares anyway? I mean, I'm just going to give you my thoughts. Who really gives a darn? Let me be honest. Damn. Who really cares? Now I'm questioning, just like David here. I'm questioning. I said, well, I mean, you know, I mean, what Who cares? I mean, what are you doing this for? And the Lord spoke to me. He says, well, why not? What would you do anyway with your miserable self? Verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow. Your doing good will always attract evil. Mark it down. Wherever good is, the Bible says, evil is always present. Always.
Well, golly, I'm not going to get out there and do nothing good. Have them fiery darts, the devil hitting on me and everything. Spears, folks talking about me and everything. Why?
And then we get into the whys. No, better to ask, how do I get out of this mess? The Lord will show you how to get out of it. Lead you right into another one. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, it's exciting. Do you think that this is heaven down here? Are you trying to make heaven out of this? Oh, God, forget it. Heaven is a wonderful place. Da, ya, ta, 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 ti, huh? No, heaven is on the inside. If you have anything like heaven, it's got to be that inner peace and that inner quiet on the inside. Now, the world doesn't have that kind of peace. But I'll tell you, and I know it's so, you can have that peace that passes all understanding, including your own understanding. Mine too? Yes, yours too. Praise God. It will be there when you need it. It isn't something you have to search for. It's just there. You apply it by faith. Not as the world gives you, give I you, but my peace. Oh, I'll tell you, there's nothing like the peace of God. Take you through just anything. But also, if when doing good and evil is always present, he'll overcome it. And good will come out of evil. Well, the Bible says they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
There you have it. That was part one, why. Be sure to listen to the conclusion, part two, on Sunday, which is New Year's Day. Have a safe New Year's Eve. God bless you.
To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.